What up? What up? This is episode 102 of the Raptors podcast, brought to you by Couch Guy Sports. I am your ever decadent host, Liam McDade, sitting across from the virtual table of sorts with the man, the myth, the legend, Justin Trumbino. It has been a long and arduous exodus after the Celtics' inglorious exit, Justin. It's great to be on with you again. How are you, my man?
Yeah, you as well, man. It sounds like you needed some of that shocked energy. You kind of sound a little low today.
I actually just woke up from a nap, so I really do. Let's get that shit out of the way right now because I need it more than most days. I feel tired, unable to focus and low on energy. We get that feeling. We understand it so well that the Raptors podcast is brought to you by Couch Guy Sports and sponsored by our friends over at Shocked Energy. Head on over to www.shockedenergy.com. Use promo code CGSN for 10% off your order. In my weak and sleepy state, I just fired up about 20 boxes myself. They ship worldwide, so they definitely ship to my small town in Massachusetts. That's right, worldwide. Get your Shocked Energy today. All right, bang. Ad read in the books.
There it is.
I missed you, my brother.
Miss you too, man.
Oh, my God. So, first things first, the Celtics lost. Our last episode was titled, "The Celtics Can Still Win This," which might be the most depressing shit I've ever had to read. But we lost, so that sucked. Were you in some sort of hibernation, depressive state like I was after that finals?
No, not so much, honestly. I mean, it sucked to see them lose, but you can kind of see the way the game, the way the series was shifting, the way that they were playing. It unfortunately, I guess, became inevitable. But I'm not here to talk about the finals. I'm here to talk about something more exciting, like Summer League.
Yes, which is right around the corner. First game is this Saturday, I believe.
Yeah, sometime this weekend.
Man, just gives me another thing to bet on. I haven't had anything since the finals and up until football. Started dabbling on Summer League. I'm psyched. It's one of my favorite, like, non-important, particularly, things of the year. Like, seeing all the rookies ball out. I just love watching basketball.
Well, that's the thing. So, collectively, I guess, as a league, maybe Summer League isn't so important. But
no, I mean, it holds no real weight.
Well, the thing is, individually, per team, it is important. And that's why, for me, it's actually one of my favorite parts of the NBA year. And it sounds crazy, but this is where the future is made. So listen to this. So
getting a little inspirational here.
No, just think about it. So the Celtics in 2021, they drafted Juan Bagarin.
Yes.
The point guard out of France, who I think is just great. However, they took Sam Hauser undrafted, and it just leads me to believe that at the time, and probably still, I think they hold more value in him than Hauser. And it's just, you know, you don't see that until Summer League, and that's where it all unfolds. And I'm all for storylines and topics and trends with the Celtics. And so, yeah, I really enjoy Summer League, and most people don't. But no, I mean, right now, this is a unique year for the Celtics where they approach Summer League with a handful of open and available roster spots and two-way slots, which I think a handful of the guys on Summer League are going to be given those contracts. My guys, Trevion Williams, I think he's – and I can't even pronounce his name – Mafondu –
I don't even bother.
I think these guys are making the team, man, and they're gonna say, "Oh, where'd these guys come from?" Check out Summer League. You would have seen it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm all for it.
Just like to watch people hoop. Like one of my favorite things, I was watching the Thunder. Was it the Jazz? I think it was a Thunder Jazz Summer League game the other day, and Taco Fall was on the Jazz Summer League game, and Carson Edwards is playing in the Summer League for the Pistons. They got a bunch of guys around former Celtics and just players that I recognize, whether they played in college and whatnot, seeing them ball. I want to see the hyped up rookies play. Yes, I'm watching Chet Holmgren. Yes, I'm watching Kenny Lofton, who just whooped his ass last night. Yes, I'm watching Paolo Banchero plays tonight. But like you said, this is also a chance to, you're just watching people hoop. It's the same thing, just at a slightly lesser degree. They're still extremely skilled. This is a chance to watch potential future Celtics players, guys who can contribute on the roster. This is where they fight to see who makes the roster. It's like the Hard Knocks version of basketball, I guess. You see who makes the team in these upcoming weeks.
Yeah, it's a great way to put it. And, you know, Sam Hauser, you know, the Celtics just gave him or re-signed him to a long-term extension. And
yep.
He's playing in summer league. It'd be nice to see what he can do. We didn't really see much last year. So.
No, dude's a sniper, though. I'd love to see it.
Yeah. And then another thing about summer league, something that you'll never see outside of summer league, is Taco Fall getting blocked. I'm pretty sure it was
a couple times. Yeah, that was so bad.
Oh my God. There's a bunch of pros and cons, but I think there's more pros to summer league.
There's a lot of talent for the league. Like, the league's already over talented with the superstars that they have now. So a lot of really great fucking players don't make teams or don't get opportunities just because of the situations that they're in. So there are still stunning shooters, incredible athletes, and wild plays that you're going to get to see in the summer league. So I watch it every year. I have for a long, long time. I remember watching Jason Tatum, and I was thinking about it the other day, his first summer league game playing against Markelle Fultz and the Sixers, and Tatum had the game winner in that game.
Yeah, I think he was number 11 back then, right?
He was, yeah. And then they shipped Avery Bradley out and gave him AB's number. Good time.
Summer league, you know, it's especially in the case of the Celtics, where Brad Stevens is just so focused on the future and putting, like, making himself his team, I should say, just in a great position. And that happens, like, in summer league, when you get a chance to see some of your two-way guys. And in this unique situation, we'll get to see Juan Bagaren, you know, a draft and stash guy.
Yep.
So I think a lot of those they hold value to Brad Stevens, and they're important. And I'm excited to see it unfold.
Yeah, with guys like this, I try and hold out all reservations about them until I see them play one or two games, because with these draft guys, it's like, I don't know, until I see their style and the way they play against other relative NBA competition, it's hard for me to even compare. Like, I remember being on edge about Luka, being like, all right, he's really sick, but he's going to be sick against NBA guys. Yes, he was. But so I don't exactly have any opinions of these guys. I hope they're going to be great. Like, you know, he who I cannot pronounce. But I got to see how he does in the first couple games.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair. Bagaren, I think I'm saying his name right.
I think so. I just don't want to shoot my shot and fail. Again, I'm going to wait for the broadcasters to say his name.
Well, I've said it about 3 times now, and it's probably wrong each time. Bagaren. I feel like I've said it differently each time.
Well, you're a lot braver than I am.
He's been one of, I mean, I know practice and scrimmage has just started, but he's been one of the better players on the floor for the Celtics in the limited views that we get to see. But with that, I mean, the G League, some of those guys have had pretty great seasons in the G League so far. And I know it's the G League, but they're young guys, and that's, you know, they're playing against equal competition pretty much, if not maybe better. So like Matt Ryan, we've seen him cook in the G League for Maine.
Yeah, we have.
Cabin Gale, he's averaged just over 18 points per game in the last 2 seasons in the G League. You know, a lot of these guys have a lot to prove and are, you know, worthy of maybe adding depth to the end of Brad Stevens' bench, which is what he's looking to do. I don't think based off what he's done so far this this offseason.
Yeah.
The acquiring Malcolm Brogdon, just some of the other things that he's done with, to the point guard position with Derek White. And I don't know if, say, Roderick Thomas, he was one of the guys on the two-way last year.
Yeah, I thought it was Broderick, but yeah, it doesn't matter.
I don't know.
again with names.
I don't think he'll be on the two-way again. It's just the way that the team is being constructed and what Brad Stevens wants to do with his depth, it just makes me – I forgot where I was going with this. Sorry.
What I'm really curious to see is our boy Yam Madar. Is he back?
No, he doesn't want to be back.
No, he's still playing overseas. He's not coming over.
He declined
the offer to play dude.
Well, he wants to play in the Israeli national team. I think he's actually going to start for the national team. So that cuts into, I think, all of the summer league games. So he declined, but I would not rule him out as an option. Just because he's not in summer league.
I was psyched to see him in summer league. That bites it. Good for him, but that bites it. Yeah,
I was really excited too. He declined, but he's one of the better young players in Israel and has a starting role on his team right now.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to give that up.
Makes sense. He's an interesting ball player though. Like, I love his play style. I like his 3-point ability. I gotta see how he plays. Like, I need more than just the few summer league games we got last year. I wonder if he's a little pissed off at Brad for some of the bull jive he pulled last summer that ended up sending Yam back overseas. I know he really wanted to be a part of the team, but Brad didn't think he was ready.
Yeah, and that's no shot on Madar.
No.
But I think Madar took it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Madar had said last year that he wants to play for the Celtics. I don't think he was going to accept a two-way deal or anything else. And yeah. I think it's just kind of like sour at this point. And I don't think we'll ever see, unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever see Yam play for the Celtics again.
That would suck.
But
he's fun to watch overseas, though. At least I get to see his highlights.
Yeah, I am excited about Bagarin because I thought he was going to get one of the two ways last year. And that didn't happen. So I'm really excited for him. I think he has a real chance to actually make the roster. Because he's like he can play one through three, and he can probably defend one through four, maybe even five. We'll see, but
I can't imagine many people who are viable to make the team over him per se. I know you said we still got Hauser and whatnot, but in a trade that we're going to talk about in a second, we kind of dumped the end of our bench there, so there's plenty of spots. I think if anyone's a viable candidate, of course, it'd be him. Hauser's obviously an in-house guy. See what I did there? But
I do. well, yeah, and the interesting thing too with that, with the whole roster makeup and everything is if who knows what's going to happen with the expiring TPE that expires on the 18th.
So yep.
If he's going to make a move for, you know, even just like a, like not even using the entire TPE. Just for whatever, but who knows? You might have to trade another guy on the roster. So
yeah, quickly before we get into the big bad trade here, do you think they let that expire? Do you think they have another move in them? I really thought they had another move, and then Thomas Bryant went to the Lakers. Now I'm a little hesitant.
I don't know. If they use it, they're not using it all. Like they're not gonna.
Yeah.
They're not getting a superstar, or they're not getting like a
strong
role
player. Yeah, yeah.
I think they may use part of it, like maybe like 10 or something. If they do, I think it's for... See, I do and I don't. I honestly, if I'm going to go with my gut, I don't think he does.
Yeah.
I think he feels really confident in what he has in these guys, these young guys. Like Trevion Williams, I really think he's going to make the end of the bench. I think he's going to make the roster and be the third backup for Robert Williams. So then there's the backup big man problem right there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's a waste if they don't. I think you have to use it.
I think there's definitely room to bring in another big man. That's why I like Thomas Bryant. I like the idea of them signing Thomas Bryant and then trading for Terrence Ross, who I've wanted on the Celtics basically since I was a fetus. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. But the new look roster, even if they don't make a move, looks pretty fucking disgusting in my opinion. And disgusting in the good way. The way you love. This team is dirty. This is a super team if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I love the team. You know, a lot of people saying, oh, you can't run it back. You can't run it back. I think they can. And we'll see. We'll see. That's for sure.
Absolutely. So let's talk about this trade here, just to get into the meat and potatoes of it, shall we? So, the Celtics sent Aaron Nesmith and your boy Daniel Ice Tice is out the fucking door.
They're already talking about trying to get him back. They're waiting for the date where they can reacquire traded players.
That's so ridiculous. Please don't tell me that. I'll make a bet with you that they don't bring him back, just in hopes. But we can get to that another time.
They can't for a certain amount of time.
But I'm saying...
Here's the thing. Daniel Tice, whenever there's like a trade involved with Tice, there's always like a first-round pick associated with him. Tice is a serviceable player, and he's clearly worth first-round picks. So, that's my guy. He'll end up back in Boston. Don't worry.
You're hearing crickets from me. I'm not agreeing with what you just said. Certainly not. I think that's a preposterous statement. You need to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
There's always a point in every season that we don't have Daniel Tice where we're like, oh, man, really wish we had Daniel Tice here.
I can't think of one. I can't think of one of those instances.
Every season, we're like, oh, man, we really need another big man.
Pretty sure that's just you having those thoughts, Justin. That's one of those things where you say it out loud thinking everyone's going to relate, and that's a just you thing. So we also traded Nick Stauskas, my boy, Malik Fitz, your boy, and Juwan Morgan, and that 23 first-round pick to the Pacers for... Rookie of the year, back in the day, Malcolm Brogdon. Thoughts? Does this complete the super team?
I don't know if it completes them, but it gets them over the hump. And I love the trade. And actually, as you saw, I texted you when it was released. I actually tweeted this last year. I guess you could say I predicted this happening.
In a sense. A little early, but yeah.
I wanted them to trade Kemba Walker for Malcolm Brogdon. I'm all about it. I like it a lot. I am curious to see how they make it work. Are they going to steer away from the too big? Are they still going to use the too big? What's going to happen? That's the stuff I'm looking at now. But Brogdon on the Celtics, I love it.
It's fantastic. He is the only problem would be his availability. Like, that's the big thing. He's always kind of hurt. A little bit made of glass. But it's like it's plexiglass. Like, it's a little stronger than just drop a vase and it shatters type deal. He's a big baller. He's a better shooter than any point guard that we have on the team. Fantastic playmaker. Arguably the best playmaker that we have on the team. He's the scoring prowess that we missed. Since he's gone to the Pacers, he's been unbelievable. He was a 50-40-90 guy in Milwaukee, and I think he also did it in Indy. It's the perfect trade. He's not a superstar that's going to demand a lot of attention, be a dickhead, and shoot the ball way too much and shoot us out of a game. He knows how to run and pace. I love it. I absolutely love it. This has been one of my favorite players to watch for a while. Just one of those things that, like, when he's healthy, but that's not a problem because we just made it to the finals with two guys that are still on the team. So, worst case scenario, we're just like last year. And then when Malcolm Brogdon comes back, all is well.
Yeah, Celtics definitely have a type, huh? In point guards, Marcus Smart,
they really do.
Brogdon, they're all the same role. But except this also,
Brogdon's a bit of a star to me.
Yeah, Brogdon's definitely on a more star level than Smart or White. But
yes.
What this also shows me is something that I've also said a few times on this podcast. Is I think this move is going to force Peyton Pritchard to be more of a shooting and scorer than facilitator and engineer of the offense.
Yeah.
Not that he can't do it. There was times where he's flat, you know, when he can make some flashy plays and passes, but I think Brad Stevens and Ime Udoka, they're going to be more in tune with the team this year, having both a year under their belts, and they're going to only have the players do what they do.
Yeah.
Pritchard's a shooter and a scorer. That's what he's going
to
do.
Play Brogdon, to your strengths.
Yeah, Brogdon, Smart, and White, they're point guards. They need to facilitate. That's what they're going to do. They're going to run the show. Tatum and Brown are on the wings. They're your scorers. They're your all-stars. They're your cornerstones. So I love it. But I do think there is something to say about how willing Indiana was just okay to let him go. How willing they were to just let him go for pretty much pennies.
What do you think about that? Are they just fucking are they fucking dumb, or are they cleaning house, or were they worried about Brogdon contributing with them?
No, I think it was more of a salary dump and just injury history. I don't know if it's injury history, but he's or if that's what you would call it, but I mean, he's played around like 50. He's hovered around 50 games.
I was looking at it the other day. It's not great from what I remember.
So, you know, there's that. I've never really heard him as like a bad guy or like a bad teammate. I think it was more just like a salary dump.
Yikes.
Indiana's looking to plan for the future, and
they also have Halliburton, who plays the same position, and you and me both think wildly highly of him.
Oh, yeah.
So Malcolm Brogdon hasn't played more than 56 games in the last 3 years. The most he played was his rookie year. He played 75. It's not great, but that's okay because we don't need him to play all the time. We don't need Al Horford to play all the time. This is the 2022 version of the Spurs. We'll load manage these guys until it matters.
Well, that's the thing. And that's exactly right, too. Last season, our guys got tired at the end. And Brad Stevens, his goal this year is to add depth so that these guys don't have to play every game. They don't have to play 40 minutes a game. They don't, you know, there can actually be solid rotations. Udoka doesn't have to use 8 guys in total.
Yeah. It'll have to come down to coaching changes, too, though, because toward the end of the season, I guess all the games matter, but toward the end of the season, we blew out like the Timberwolves, and Tatum and Brown are still getting 40 minutes a game when we won by like 37. It's like, all right, you can rest the guys and play like Nesmith for 25, 30 minutes at the end of the game. It doesn't matter if we're going to win anyway. I think that's one of my few criticisms on Ime now. It's rest your starters. You're killing Jalen and Jason.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I agree with that. And we probably talked about that from time
to
time.
Yeah, it's a small nitpick, but it's just something I noticed is still chaps my ass after they lost. I'm still angry.
Yeah, and that's something that's different from Brad Stevens. He always would use all his weapons, his entire arsenal, and
Udoka
doesn't. But I do think it's kind of like a Bill Belichick type of thing, and I guess you could say maybe a Popovich type of thing, like, we're not taking our foot off the gas pedal. We're going to score as many points as we can, and we're going to murder every team.
In football, I can respect it. In basketball, I'm like, come on.
Yeah, it's a little different in basketball, even though it is sort of the same.
I don't know.
There's more of a toll on a basketball player than a football player. in turn,
which is weird to say. No, I know what you mean.
Like, cardio and just not. It's the nonstop for the basketball player versus the football player. The football player, you know, if you're on a shitty team, you're out there for four plays, and then you're sitting until you're on the play. You know, so
yep.
Not to say that the physical contact that they take in those four plays aren't anything, because it is, but I do think it's more it's more exhausting, I guess, for the basketball player.
And I know exactly what you mean. It's like a wide receiver will only take, 40 to 60 snaps a game. Like, you know, that's that. You still have defense to play. You can also run the ball a ton if you're up, and then they're basically not doing anything because most wide receivers don't.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they get their rest there. Just, last signing before we check off here. What do you think about us signing the Italian stallion, Nello Gallinari?
Oh, I didn't know they signed me.
You said yeah. They signed. Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
you know, I love it. I like it. I don't know much about Gallinari other than that he's just a very consistent scorer. He's older. He's an older guy.
Yeah, he is.
I actually put out a tweet today. Team needs bench scoring. Boss gets bench scoring. Danilo Gallinari. So,
yep.
Brad Stevens acknowledged a problem, and he went out and got it. Hopefully, Gallinari can continue doing what he does, and hopefully it can help push the Celtics over the hump.
I am a huge Gallinari guy. I had some hesitancies with the fact that he's 33 and he's also never really been healthy for a full season. Right now I'm going to put the health to the side because that seems to be everyone's concern with every player that the Celtics have apparently. 33 years old for a dude who's 6'8" and is going to stand in the corner and pull up threes, I will absolutely take it. He's a veteran. He's experienced. He's been on winning teams. Like you said, we needed bench scoring. He goes gets bench scoring. So who am I to sit here and nitpick and complain? We got a guy who's very well could have been an all-star in the past. And he's still got plenty left in the tank. I like this signing. These lineup potentials right here are deadly when I think about the season getting closer. Ime can do a lot of damage with some combinations of these guys.
Oh, 100%. I'm looking forward to it as well. And the roster's not even done yet. So
you know,
these lineups and rotations can only get stronger.
And yep. I know, I'm talking about lineups, but they're not done yet at all. Like, I'm sure they'll probably add one more guy.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, they're definitely not done yet. And, you know, Gallinari, he fills a few different holes. Bench scoring.
Nice.
He takes minutes away from Jason, which is great.
Yeah.
He can do the same for Jalen, depending on the lineup, in a way. He adds size, which adds spacing. He can shoot, so that adds spacing. There's just only good in pros when it comes to signing, you know, this signing on this team. Yeah, he's older. Yeah, the injury history or, you know, not finishing seasons, but at this point in, I'd say the season, but the season hasn't even started yet. But
yeah.
At this point for the Celtics, like this group, I think they're like finally over, like just hero ball, just the individual, and are actually going to start playing team ball. And I'm really looking forward to that. And I think that's ultimately what's going to push them over the hump. I thought the Celtics were the best conditioned team in the league until I saw them in the finals and they couldn't even stand up. I think all these signings allowing himself to use his full roster, a roster that he actually likes and feels that's worthy enough to give his starters a break and keep the team in it. I'm really looking forward to that. As far as the team, and like some of the changes that have happened.
Wait, really hold on. I want to speak on that hero ball thing that you were saying, because I was looking for that word basically this whole podcast. That is, they the Brogdon signing and the Gallinari signing are the killers of Hero Ball, which I love to see. In the Celtics, or in the finals, we saw it worst of all. When Jalen goes cold and Jason goes cold at the same time, there becomes no offense. And they will huck shots up and they will try and get their rhythm back, and it doesn't work. Now you have Brogdon who can create his own shot and Gallinari who's a signature bucket getter in his own right. Now it becomes some sort of a let's distribute the wealth here.
Yeah, no, it's a great way to say that. You know, kill the Hero Ball. It's so right. Yeah, that's really important, especially on this in this group. And Brogdon's a well respected guy, so it's not just, you know, like a star point guard coming in automatically just gonna butt heads with Marcus Smart. Just everyone's on the same page. And it's going to be a good group. We had a great group last year. This is another great group. I'm really, really looking forward to this season. I don't think I've really been as invested in a team through the entire season and off season to the beginning of the next season as I have with this last year. And I'm really looking forward to it. This is really... this is an exciting time for Celtics fans. It really is. And for the team, not just the fans. I'm so pumped.
Damn, you have me fired up like right now. Like I'm about to walk out the tunnel at the Rose Bowl.
There hasn't been many off seasons where there's actually been action. And the fact that there is action, it's great to see. But the action that's being done, it shows that management believes in this group and wants it to improve and get better and are allowing Brad Stevens to do that.
Yeah.
And it's just so great. It's really great.
We have a chance to build off something. We had a historic, unbelievable, almost dominant run last year. And to do anything less than the moves that they've been doing would be to squander a great opportunity with a great team and two young superstars.
Yeah. Absolutely, and this is the start of, like, what could be the building of a dynasty. And
little ambitious, but I like where your head's at.
Every other Celtics team that we, I guess you could say, been a part, or the dynastic, I guess, Celtics teams in history, we never got to see be created. A lot of them were created and retooled and they never left. And then we had that drought, and then, you know, Paul Pierce, KG, Ray Allen, you know, we got it back. But that wasn't really a dynasty. They did it once. This group here, they've gone to the Eastern Conference Finals, what, I don't know, 5 times now, maybe?
Is it five?
They've gone, I don't know, might be 4, but it's been quite a bit. And it's just, and then they finally made it, you know, to the finals. It's great to see the progression and be able to say, like, yeah, we saw all of this. You know, we remember when Jalen and Jason were drafted, when Marcus Smart was drafted, really to start it all. So,
oh, yeah.
I'm just really looking forward to what's to come for the Celtics and what we have to look forward to for the future.
We're witnessing tremendous Celtics history here. Buckle up, get a front row seat, and enjoy the ride.
100%. Can't wait. I'm going to try and go to as many Celtics games as I can next year.
As will I. And we are going to a game together. I promise, hand to God, I will amend that from last season.
Yes, we have to do that. And we got a dog in the middle of last season, so we didn't get to go to as many games as maybe we had originally planned. But
yeah, I kind of took over your spirit there toward the end. I think I went to 7 toward the latter half of the season, and you went to like 5 toward the middle and the beginning. So we kind of both split up going to live games throughout the season.
Oh, it's not bad when you live like 20 minutes away, like some like you.
Yeah, like when I Uber in and out of the stadium for like 25 bucks. Yeah, it's kind of nice. I went on a Wednesday last second.
I got to plan the entire day.
Yeah, that sucks. Well, move closer, Rhode Island.
You will soon enough. You will soon enough.
Good man.
Once you tie the knot.
Yeah.
Get yourself man's best friend. You'll
we'll see. We'll see about that. Oh, man. I think I'll always have time for Ubering into a Celtics game last second on a Wednesday for a quick drunk.
That's right. That sounds like the life. But before we end, I do want to say this. A name to remember, because the next time we're on, the Summer League games will be over, and I'm not sure if there's a tournament. Maybe they won't be over, depending
on when do the Summer League games end? I think they're like 2 or 3 weeks, right?
I don't know. I only saw 3 games on the schedule.
Yeah, and then it goes to
all Vegas. This weekend.
Yeah, because this is in Salt Lake, and then it goes to Vegas.
All right, then. Well, yeah, that's good.
But they'll be
the name to remember. Name to remember. Trevion Williams. Remember that name. I have an article going that caught some buzz, and I got a lot of feedback on it. And
throw the shameless plug in there.
Yeah, go check it out on Celtics Files. It's mobbing around there. A lot of people, a lot of fans' thoughts. I think it got, I don't know, like 4,000 likes and a few thousand comments from a bunch of fans all over the place who agree with me and disagree with me. So find it, throw your thoughts on there, comment on the podcast, let us know, and we'll talk about it.
Best believe that's a slow golf clap for you, sir. Good job. Absolutely crushing it.
Love those Purdue guys, huh?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. The Boilermakers, they're doing something good up there. Although Carson Edwards can stay on the fucking team, and now he's killing it for Detroit. I'll never let that one go. I'll never let that one go. So annoying. I knew it. I was like, once he leaves, he's going to average like 50. I'm going to be pissed. I digress. But that is a wrap on episode 102 of the Rafters podcast, brought to you by Couch Guy Sports.
Speaking of 102, 102 days until the NBA season officially starts. Mark your calendars.
Oh, fuck. Damn it. Why didn't I lead off with that, Justin?
I didn't think of it.
Oh, God, that's incredible math on your part, the fact that you even knew that, unless you're counting down the days, hours, and seconds till fucking we get there. But, yes, episode 102 for 102 days until the NBA season, brought to you by the human calculator, Justin Trombino.
No.
So I think that's a later.
Later. Human calculator who cannot even do his own taxes. So
no one can.